It's wonderful to see everybody out this morning. I hope that everybody is doing well. It's always encouraging to come together to study God's Word as we have this opportunity to do so. It's good to have visitors out with us. We're always thankful to have visitors, and we always welcome you back. And just let you know, it's an encouragement to have you here, and it's just always a blessing to us. We hope that we're encouraging to you also. It's also wonderful to see a couple faces that we haven't seen it in quite some time due to the virus, and as things continue to get better and things continue to seem to be understood a little more, things keep on lightening up, and Lord, we want to give thanks to God for that and pray that it continues to go in that direction. So certainly good to see everyone out this morning. I want to ask everybody to open up their Bibles, follow along as we go throughout the lesson this morning. Searching the scriptures and making sure that we put God first in all things, and that if anything is said or done, we'll go throughout the lesson, that you have questions about or believe that has been misspoken according to God's word, then please bring that to my attention or to one of the men, and we can discuss that and study it further and make sure that the truth is being taught. What I want to talk about this morning is going to talk about courage, and the courage we need to have in the life as a Christian. And I want to start off in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. I'm mainly going to be focused on that very first few words right there as it says, but the cowardly. But the cowardly. It lists, of course, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so, as we look at this verse, so many will get caught up and focused on, of course, murderers, idolaters, liars, sorcerers, sexually immoral. And sometimes we get caught up in pointing out these obvious sins that we might say. It's like, well, of course, you know, I'm not a murderer. Or, you know, of course, to the world, hopefully, brethren here, but it's more obvious. But to the world, you know, sexually immoral is not that obvious. They believe they can just go around and do as they please, do as they want. But that, hopefully, as you are going to church and study the Word of God yourself, understand that is wrong. Idolatry, worshiping idols and putting images above God is wrong. And getting caught up in false teachings and sorcery or lying. And where some people think some lying's okay. One thing that we often may just overlook as we read this verse is it brings out the coward. The cowardly shall be cast into the lake of fire. Now understand, I don't believe this is saying that if you're scared of spiders, that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, if you have a fear of spiders and you allow that to rule your life and you have a fear of spiders that you think that maybe you saw a spider here in the church building, so you never come to church ever again because of a spider, that might be something we have to talk about. But just the simple of, hey, you see a spider, so you scream and you run the other direction, I don't think that's what it's talking about here. As Christians, followers of Christ, we have to be courageous and brave and willing to go and teach the Word of God. Courageous and brave, willing to stand for the truth. And hard times, especially as we study the Bible, we can see time and again how brave and courageous these men must have been, had to be, in order to remain faithful to God. And it's something that we have to be prepared for in times to come. As you go to school, you're going to have the pressure from friends and others that are going to try to tempt you to give in to temptation in the world, to be like everybody else in a sexual moral life, or to tell the lie so that your friend doesn't get in trouble. And so there's times in which we have to be courageous. We have to be brave to stand for the truth in the Word of God. And so I want to open up our Bibles and look at a few examples this morning and then see that God does command us to be courageous today. And so starting off with a few Old Testament examples as we look to the Word of God and talk about courageous examples. In Numbers chapter 13, if you open up your Bibles there with me. Numbers 13 and looking at verse 30. Numbers 13 and starting in verse 30. It says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are all well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Again, Caleb saw everything that everybody else saw, right? Caleb and Joshua both, as we could read and study this situation in different parts, they both come saying, we can do this. But Caleb brings out here, he quieted the people. He said, we are all able. He didn't say the strongest of our men are able to do this. He said, we are all able to do this. He saw whatever all the other spies saw. He saw these great giant men. He saw the strength that they had. He saw that he was like a grasshopper in their sight. But that didn't discourage him. He didn't come out and say it's going to be the easiest thing done in the world. He didn't say that, if we go in there, there's a chance that some might die. But he did have confidence in God and was brave enough to speak out against 10 other men that were saying, no, it's impossible. He was brave enough and courageous enough to say, let us go up and fight. It took courage to go into battle. It took courage to go to war. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, of course, we've studied Samuel and we've talked about David a lot. We're in 2 Samuel now, so we went through this in 1 Samuel 17. But David and Goliath, I mean, the courage that David had to have. Because again, everybody else was what? Everybody else was afraid. They saw, again, what kind of man this was.
A man that all the spies spoke about, right?
A giant. A giant of a man. And he was known as a champion. And he had his great spear and great shield. Everybody else was afraid. They were too afraid to go and take a stand. But David was brave. David was courageous and willing to go and charge. I love that part. And again, I bring it out that during this time of Bible class, I end up being sick and missing out the part where he runs forward. I just love it. He's ready and eager to go and do the work of God. He was courageous. He knew that this was a giant. He knew that this man had more experience. He knew this man knew how to use a spear and a sword and knew how to use a shield. And David wasn't taught in these things. He had not practiced with the army of Israel. He was simply a boy, a shepherd at this time. Now he's done his part in protecting his sheep against a bear and against a lion. You know, and in those time moments, you probably think of the situation and just rise of occasion. He just did it. Here he had time to think about it and say, I don't know. Let's see. Everybody else is scared, so that's got to be saying something, right? I mean, these are well-trained men. I mean, look at Saul. He's a head taller than everybody else, and he's not brave enough. Here comes David, and he is so brave. He's so courageous, and he goes forth and attacks this giant, attacks Goliath. And why? Because he says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. God is my deliverer. He was courageous because he had God behind him. He was brave because he knew the Lord. He was on the Lord's army. And that these people were enemies of God. We have to be courageous. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. And read along with me here. And in verse 10, here again, someone's life is being threatened here. Someone's life is being put at risk. And what do you do? Well, what do we do when we're scared? When someone's trying to scare us? Nehemiah 6, and in verse 10, it says, afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delilah, the son of Methabel,
who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. He comes out and he says, look, we need to go into the house of God. We need to go into the temple. We need to close the doors. We need to hide. They're coming to kill you. In verse 11, he says, and I said, should such a man as I flee? And should, and who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me because Tobith and Samuel and had hired him. And so as this comes to him, he's just like, oh, what? Who am I to flee? What right do I have? God has not told me to run away, even if my life is at risk. And he goes forth to go forth and say, and who am I that I should go into the temple? He looks at it as he is being threatened. His life is being put on the line. What do? You say, okay, well, my life is going to be on the line. This is a time of essence and where I have to act. And after time, he perceived, as it continued further, he perceived, finally came to, this guy is obviously not really here to help me. He was willing to stand for the truth. He wasn't willing to go against God's commands as he remained faithful. Again, Daniel's a good example, another great example as we look for those who are courageous and brave because their life is on the line.
They are being threatened. And so here, of course, they want to get Daniel, and this is the only reason this law is being thrown in there. Hey, king, you know, we need to get everybody to worship your God and everybody to bow down to you and put you first and your God first. And so let's put this decree out there and... They knew Daniel would not follow.
They just knew Daniel was going to do what he always done. And so here we have in verse 10, it says, and now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, Daniel understood.
He knew what the law was. It wasn't that they passed this without his knowledge. Again, it wasn't that it was all of a sudden that he was checking out, he clocked out, and so he was headed home, and then they got it signed at the last minute, and he didn't realize that he got home. Oh, I didn't know.
He knew that it was signed. He knew the consequences of being faithful to God. He went home, and in his upper room, with the windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and as was his custom since early days.
He was very courageous here.
He was brave. He didn't go and shut the doors. He didn't go and hide what he was doing. Why? Because this is what he did. This is what he wanted to do into serving the Lord. Serving God. He wasn't about to let anyone stop him. He wasn't about to stop shining his light and being an example to everybody else. And knowing that people were watching, knowing that if they saw him doing this, that he would be cast into the lions. Knowing this, he went ahead and went forward. He was very brave and courageous. We'll look at a couple of examples throughout the New Testament. Throughout the New Testament, see again that the courageousness continues to be an example for us. Acts 4 and verse 18, here it says, so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. again, yes, they at this time they were able to get by with it. But here, I mean, just right off of that, as the Lord, of course, just think what happened to Christ just not too long ago.
And here they are, they're going and teaching the Word of God. They get thrown into prison. They get threatened and beat and then told, don't do this. And what do? They go back out and they teach further on. And they heal somebody who's ill. And they bring him back and says, did we not tell you to stop? They say, what? What God has told us to do, what we have seen is fact, it is truth, it is God's inspired word, and so therefore I can't stop. We can't stop. And again, knowing that they could be thrown back into prison, knowing that they could be scourged, knowing that they could be stoned to death, knowing the consequences of being faithful to God, and they were courageous. They were brave to continue to teach, to continue to go and spread the word of God. No matter the consequence. Continue to be faithful in all things. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse 22. Acts 20 starting in verse 22. And it reads here, it says, and see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace to God. And indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you that this day I am not innocent, that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Again, he says, I go chained. I go and I don't know exactly what's coming to me other than I have been told that in chains and tribulation awaits me. And my mind goes to Jonah here. Jonah ran away from doing the work of God when his life wasn't threatened. He just didn't want to go do it. He didn't feel like these people deserved it. And so he ran. He didn't want to go and teach. Here is someone being told, this is what's going to happen to you. I need you to go teach. I don't think so. I think I'll go the other direction. What many people would do. They're like, well, that's what's waiting. Chains, tribulation, persecution. Again, you go to 2 Corinthians 11 and read there, starting in verse 24, and read all that Paul had went through as he was shipwrecked, as he was starved, as he was stoned and left for dead, as he was beat and scourged. And again, what does he say? He says, upon all this, my concern for the church. It doesn't cross his mind to... Or, I can't say it didn't cross his mind. What's his main focus isn't, what do I need to do to stop getting beat so much? What do I need to do to make sure I get my 3 meals a day? What do I need to do to make sure I don't end up at the bottom of the sea because I've been shipwrecked, because I have starved, because I have been beat and stoned and left for death? He says, my concern is that I get to the next place and I'm able to teach. As I'm in these chains and they're putting me on trial, I'm writing another letter to encourage you to remain faithful. To keep on fighting the good word, to not let this imprisonment pull you down, to scare you from remaining faithful. His concern wasn't what's going to happen during my trial. He says, I understand that I probably won't see your face again. But I want you to keep on running your race. To go forth and continue to teach. That takes courage. Cowardly would have gave in, denied Christ, or at least just not taught anymore and say, I can do it in private on my own. He was very courageous.
and going out and spreading the word of God, very brave in teaching the truth. But a good example, brothers and sisters, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and verse 39, it says, "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Again, a verse like this can help me think that Paul probably might have prayed for a little bit less pain. Paul did pray, you know, that thorn in his side might be taken, you know, whatever that was, might be done away with, but wasn't. And he knew that bad things were going to come, and yet he remained faithful in it. And the same thing here, Jesus knows what's about to take place, understands what is about to happen. Yes, he prays that, "Lord, if it be thy will, please let this go away. Let it be done some other way." But what he doesn't do is actually run away. What he doesn't do is flee. What he doesn't do, as you read here in verse 52 and 53, he says, "But Jesus said to him, Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels?" He has the power to stop it. He has the power to end it. I'm telling you, it takes courage to go ahead and go through it when you know you could stop it. When you know you could put an end to it. You don't have to be beat, spat on, and mocked. Have a crown of thorns beat up on your head, to be crucified, to take the death, worst death that one could take, because you're being scourged and beat and nailed to a cross. Jesus was courageous. Brave, willing to remain faithful and stand up, be faithful to our Father so that we can have forgiveness of sins. We must be courageous today. Commands throughout the Old Testament, commands and examples throughout the New Testament, time and again, we must be courageous. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, as Joshua and Caleb are about to enter into the land, Moses knows they have to be courageous. Moses knows that they need to have strong strength, be able to go and do the task that is at hand, to go from one city to the next city and fight and battle, because Moses saw all their parents die and pass away because they weren't courageous. And so Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7 says, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers and give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed." He tells them to be courageous. In verse 22 and 23, he says, "Then therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to them, children of Israel. Then he inaugurated Joshua the son of Nun and said, Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you." Again, he must be strong and of good courage. Again, this is because big time is why he's focusing on Joshua, is because he's the leader here. Moses doesn't get to keep on going. And so they need someone strong and courageous to lead them, to be willing to stand up and do the hard work, be willing to say, "Look, we're going to march around the walls of Jericho instead of actually trying to attack it in a tactical way." And when they go up against Ai and it didn't work out, and God had to tell them, "Get up, stop whining, and find out who has sinned and take care of the problem." Take someone strong and courageous who's going to willingly find the person who sinned and confront them. We need leaders today. And it takes someone strong and courageous to step up, to lead, to make the hard decisions, to practice church discipline. takes people who are strong and courageous. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27 and in verse 14. As it reads here, it says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Again, just so much that we go through our life with illness, with bills, with financing, and this and that, and everything that goes on in our lives. Loved ones, and our own life, and government, politics. And yet, if we can just learn to wait on God in His time, to be courageous and just be faithful to Him. To have the courage to say, "I'm going to be faithful. And in your time, all things will be good. All things will work out." Be faithful to God. Courageous in following Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Looking at verse 20. It says, "And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage." Famous sayings too, from one leader to another leader. Continuously. Moses to Joshua, David to Solomon. "Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for His service of the house of the Lord." Having faith in God. As we come together, as we worship, as we think about what needs to be done in worship, about teaching a Bible class, about stepping up and teaching others and going out and spreading the Word of God, God is with you. Be of good courage. If you're going out with the Word of God in your hands, the Bible, the inspired Word of God, again, know that it doesn't mean that someone won't come and yell and curse you out, might even beat you, and might sometimes that cops have to arrest you because you're willing to teach the truth. But know you're doing it in the name of God. The Lord will be with you. But He does see what takes place. And keep focus on that home in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 13, it says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. We need to always continue to be ready for that day in which the Lord is set aside to judge us. Which means every day we need to be brave and courageous, be willing to stand for the Word of God, be willing to stand up for what is right, to step aside from the rest of the world and say, "I'm not going to go down the path that everybody else wants to go down, that I don't have to do what everybody else is doing, that I have to be the one that is willing to say no," because it takes courage to do those things. And God has called us to that. Because He's also said, "He who is willing to confess me, I will confess to the Father who is heaven. But he who denies me will be denied to the Father in heaven." And understand, that goes further than just saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Every day in our life decisions, when we make decisions on how we live our lives, and what choices of words we use, and the choices of modest or immodest dressing, the choices of getting up and working hard or being lazy as a sloth. Whatever choice you make, you're setting an example by what you believe is okay with God. You wear the title Christian, saint, follower of Christ, disciple of the Lord. And people are looking at you and saying, "Well, that's what they believe a Christian should do. What a Christian should say. What a Christian should wear." And so therefore, in our actions, in our words, we are making a statement of what we believe in our Lord, in His words, whether or not we are confessing our faith or not. Let us be courageous and live faithful to God. If you're here this morning, you need a prayer to congregation, we want to extend that invitation. We want to assist you. We want to help you. Whether that's praying, having setting up a Bible study, just simply talking, counseling. Or if you're here and you need to be baptized, you're ready to take that step forward. Understand that takes great courage. We have to be willing to encourage anyone who's yet to be baptized to do so. Encourage them to be brave, to stand up against what maybe family members have done in the past, to stand up and do what others might not want you to do. To be brave, to come forward in front of all, and to be baptized to wash your sins away. If there's anything we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and speak?